Judith bor med sin familie på 3 acres, eller ca. 1,2 hektar, hvor hun har malkekvæg efter et princip om zero grazing, nul græsning, og en kæmpe have, hvor hun blandt andet dyrker og sælger kaffestiklinger, passionsfrugt, ingefær, jordbær og østershatte. Sammen med 15 andre kvinder driver Judith et lille mejeri.
Man skal ikke være mange timer i Uganda for at opdage, at det religiøse liv indtager en stor plads i hverdagen. Befolkningen er overvejende kristen, og der er masser af forskellige kirker. Katolikker, anglikanere, protestanter osv., men der er også muslimer og hinduer. Kioskerne i Kampala sælger religiøse skrifter, og man kan opleve folk på et gadehjørne stå med en ghettoblaster, der spiller religiøs musik, mens de selv prædiker med høj røst til de forbipasserende. Og naturligvis håber på at tjene en skilling. På rejse med de lokale busser i provinsen oplever jeg hver gang en person, der stiger på i starten, springer op på et sæde og så prædiker en opsang til passagererne.
Halleluja. God will bless the family if you come together. Jesus came to bring people together, not to divide. Oh my God.
Den anden radio er i Uganda for at besøge andelsvirksomheder, og denne gang går turen til et mælkekooperativ, der har fået støtte fra et af Caritas programmer til fordel for udvikling af virksomheder. Caritas er en katolsk organisation, som har flere udviklingsprogrammer, blandt andet til fordel for landbrug og fødevarer. Her taler om bylandbrug, der ligger i ca. 50 km afstand fra hovedstaden Kampala. Jeg besøger en af kooperativets stærke kvinder, Judith, der bor i Nukuma.
We are sitting here in this lovely courtyard, and I see it's growing everywhere. So, what is your main activity?
The main activity here is dairy, though I integrate with other enterprises as well. Because dairy has been so good to us that it helps us to get manure.
So you have cows or you have goats or what do you have?
I have cows. So we do milk twice a day. That is early in the morning and late in the evening. And then customers, some come here, others go to the other milk. We take it to our milk collection center.
Judith tager imod på gårdspladsen uden for sit hus, hvor der er planter overalt. Hun fortæller, at hendes primære aktivitet er mejeri, hun har køer, og det giver rigtig godt med gødning til jorden. Kunderne kommer hjem til hende for at købe mælk, men de køber også på deres mejeri eller mælkecenter. Har I nok forsyning af elektricitet til opbevaring af mælk? Jo, vi ligger jo i et semi-urbant område, så der er ikke nogen problemer med el.
We happen to be near semi-urban area, so we have the power.
Hvordan startede dit engagement i køer og mælk?
The dairy production started it in 2004 when the Caritas came in and told us of different enterprises. But culturally, I happened to fall into the side of cows, so I took it up as my main enterprise.
Det var tilbage i 2004, at Caritas holdt kursus omkring businessaktiviteter, og jeg valgte mejeri.
Do you ever take the cows out to grass? Or?
No,
we don't.
Purely zero grazing.
Yeah. So they stay where they are.
They stay where we just carry the food.
Mm-hmm. And you feed them in the morning and in the evening, or only once?
Three times a day.
Three times, you say.
We give breakfast, we give lunch and supper.
Nej, køerne kommer ikke ud på græs. Det er bylandbrug med zero grazing, altså nul græsning. Jeg bringer foder til dem, og de får tre gange. Både morgenmad, frokost og aften.
Now those are potato vines.
Hvad er den bunke blade, som ligger på jorden? Jo, det er kartoffelblade, altså for sød kartoffel. Judith forklarer, at hun har en medhjælp, som malker og tager sig af køerne. Hun er også nødt til at indkøbe noget af fodret og det blade, som han har haft med.
The man who keeps the cows has bought them, so for supper they will eat that.
Judith bor i et muret hvidt hus, der ligner en mindre villa. Lige bagved er der gårdsplads, og i kanten ligger et par udhuse og en overdækket fold til køer.
We bring the cow down here.
Og, fortæller Judith med stolthed, her er et biogasanlæg gravet ned. Urin og fast gødning fra køerne bliver ført sammen og lidt ned i anlægget. Jeg kender ikke helt til videnskaben dernede, men fra tanken bliver der ført gas ind i køkkenet, som vi bruger til madlavning, og i den anden ende bliver der lidt gødning ud til markerne.
So now in the evening when the man has finished milking, he'll bring the, we have a collection, a place where we collect the urine. He'll bring that urine, pour in here, mix, and then it goes in the digester. There is a digester down here. So I don't know the science down there, but what I know, the gas goes into the house. This one, which has the gas is gotten out, goes to the other tank, and that one we carry to the gardens as manure.
The gas, you can get electricity from it, or
we use it for cooking mainly.
For cooking, yeah.
Yes.
For energy.
Der må være godt med gødning. Er det ikke nok til at kunne sælge af det?
I really have plenty of it around.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could even sell it maybe.
I also there are some of our members who now don't have cows. But what we do, we, from our collections and our savings, we give them a loan to buy a cow. When the cow starts milking, you start paying. Mm-hmm. That's how we do it in our cooperative. So before you, at least they have some crops that are growing. When they want the manure, they can come. But we are quite like five now who have these digester tanks, biogas tanks. So we share with our members.
Der er nogen af vores medlemmer i kooperativet, som ikke har køer. Så vi gør det, at vi giver et lån fra vores opsparing til køb af en ko. Når koen så giver mælk til salg, så starter tilbagebetalingen.
And when did you have this idea to make a collection center?
We had a challenge of market. We would sell to people around. Some are vendors. They would come and tell you the milk got spoiled. If you give him two times milk, then he won't turn up. So he will go with your money. Till when we were told about marketing, and then we took it up so that we can sell together. So no one will get a problem of someone running away with your money.
I mælkekooperativet er de 15, og det er det nuværende minimum antal, som kræves i Uganda for at etablere en kooperativ virksomhed. Men hvordan fandt de på at oprette et mejeri til opsamling af mælk? Jo, vi var ude for, at de mænd, som malkede og skulle sælge mælken bagefter, ikke kom tilbage, men forsvandt med pengene.
So we rented a place in like a small trading center. We have a fridge where we keep our milk if it's not sold all at a go. And we have a girl who is an attendant in that milk shop. Yes. So every member brings milk morning and evening.
Så besluttede vi at leje et hus i et lille handelscenter, anskaffe et køleskab og ansætte en pige i mælkesalget. Hvert medlem bringer sin mælk derhen morgen og aften. Hvor mange liter er det for eksempel om dagen?
It's between 50 to 100, depending on how members have the milk.
Jo, det er 25 til 100 liter om dagen. Men det afhænger helt af, hvor mange køer det enkelte medlem har. Og ja, det betyder meget transport.
However, of late we've developed an idea. I want to buy a motorcycle so that we use it to collect milk from our members to the dairy.
For tiden går vi med den idé at købe en motorcykel, som kan køre rundt og hente mælk. Hvordan fik I penge til hus og køleskab?
Each member brought in some money.
Okay.
We put together that money to buy the fridge. We put in the money together to rent the place.
Jo, alle medlemmer betalte ind for deres mælkesalg, og så kunne vi finansiere husleje, køleskab, elektricitet og sælge.
Now, every milk that we sell, we deduct some few shillings for the diary, for the operations, where we get the money for rent, paying power, and also paying the attendant.
What is the actual price of a liter of milk?
A liter of milk is between 1,600 and 2,000. But for us, what we do, at our collection center, we sell a liter at 2,000. We give a member 1,600. We deduct 200 for the operations, and we keep for the member 200.
Hvad er den aktuelle pris på en liter mælk? Den er på 1.500 til 2.000 Uganda shilling, hvilket svarer til 3-4 kroner. Men det vi gør, er, at mejeriet regner med 2.000 per liter. Betalingen til medlemmer er på 1.600 shilling, så lægger vi 200 til side til betaling for drift, og de sidste 200 lægges ned til fælles opsparing.
We sit every Tuesday. It happens we sit here in my place. So one of our members is our into the treasury, goes to the diary, brings the money, calculates how many liters you supplied to the diary, and gives you your money.
Hver tirsdag holder vi møde, og det sker tit her hos mig. Så henter kassereren pengene og udbetaler for den mælk, som er blevet leveret.
Each member has to save 10,000 every sitting. Plus, the other 200 per liter, he or she takes to the collection center.
Til hvert møde betaler medlemmerne ekstra 10.000 shilling ind til opsparing, plus de 200 for hver liter. Hvad med forarbejdning af mælk? Laver I noget af det?
Yes, of late we have also started making yogurt. That's for value addition and to increase on shelf life of our milk. Yes. And when you do that value addition, you get more. Here we're getting 2,000 per liter. But when you make yogurt, you get 4,000.
Ja, vi laver yoghurt. Det giver mere værdi til vores mælk, og det forlænger opbevaringen på den måde. Hvordan går det med salget? Er der kunder?
And you have customers for yoghurt?
Yes, we do. We do. We have many youngsters around, so mainly yoghurt is mainly taken by these youngsters, the border riders, the school going children. So the customers we have.
Ja, der er masser af unge, som køber. Og så er der motorcykeltaxierne, bodabodagerne, som de kaldes. Og så er der skoleelever. Jo, der er masser af kunder.
And you give to the shops as well.
Personally, how many liters can you get from your cows per day?
Okay.
Average.
Average is around 25 liters.
Jeg spørger Judith, hvor mange liter mælk hun producerer dagligt for tiden. Omkring 25 liter er svaret. Og det er ikke så meget i betragtning af den store fold, som kan rumme omkring 20 køer.
So all this used to be filled with cows.
It's quite big here.
So now they are satisfied. They are resting.
They are resting, yeah.
Yes.
Judy forklarer, at hun har været ude for et stort tag. For nylig kom hun ud i morgen og fandt 8 køer døde. So.
They got sick or what happened?
I really don't know. No. You just wake up in the morning and find a dead 8 cows dead. It was really so bad. You find 10 dead. But I'll continue.
Yeah.
It happens in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you do vaccination?
Yes, we do vaccinate. Yeah. And this one, the zero grazing, don't usually get those diseases.
No.
I really don't know what could have happened. Mm. But in Africa, there are some bad people, they can poison them.
At miste 8 køer må betyde meget stort økonomisk tab. For hvad er prisen på en ko? Ja, den ligger på 3-5 millioner Uganda shilling. Altså 5-8.000 kroner.
5 millions when it's a pedigree, that is of a a pure Frisian cow goes for 5 millions now. In calf, like 5 months. However, the beauty with the cow, if it is a good milking cow, in one lactation, you get that money back. So, cow is beautiful business.
Judith skal snart til andelssparekassen for at tage et lån og anskaffe nye køer.
Yeah, we really grow a lot because we are almost in the middle of the market. So we do also vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Men det er heldigt, at hun har gang i flere slags produktion og salg, og kunder er der også, så økonomien kan løbe rundt, selv når der er krise. Judith og familie dyrker mange forskellige grøntsager og frugt, og der bliver eksperimenteret.
We do matoke. I have collards. I have spinach.
Mm-hmm.
I have eggplants. I have strawberries.
You have strawberries?
Yes, I do. I have mushroom. I also run a nursery of clonal coffee. There are quite a number of activities anyway.
Yeah. The plants over there, they are what?
The yams.
And here?
There's pepper. Green pepper.
Green pepper?
Yeah.
På gårdspladsen er der planter overalt. De står i sorte plantesække, samlet i forskellige grupper. Hvad har vi så her? Her er der aubergine og spinat, og så er der jordbær. Jeg dyrker også svampe, og jeg avler stiklinger af coronakaffe. Og hvad står herover? Det er jamsrødder og grønne peber.
Why do you put them in bags?
I want to utilize all the space that I have here, but at the same time for easy management. Because there I can do the watering throughout. And for easy management mainly. But since the main enterprise is cattle, is dairy, so we need a bigger place to grow grass. So that's why I have to also to use the bags for these other crops.
Hvorfor dyrker så mange ting i plastikposer? Jo, det er for at gøre det nemmere med hensyn til at styre vandingen. Men siden mejeriet er den vigtigste aktivitet, har vi også brug for jorden til at dyrke græs til dyrene, og det er også en grund til, at en del dyrkes i poser. Ud fra et af vinduerne hænger et gennemskåret stykke nedløbsrør, og her i vokser salat.
It looks beautiful there, but at the same time I consume it. So.
Det ser smukt ud, men det er også meget praktisk.
When you need grass, do you actually cultivate something to feed your cows?
Yes, I do. I have napier. When it's rainy season, I grow maize for the cows also.
Når du har brug for græs og foder til køerne, dyrker du så noget særligt til dem? Ja, jeg dyrker napier, og så dyrker jeg majs i regntiden. Og hvor meget jord er der tale om? Det svarer til cirka 1.5 hektar.
Yes, I'm on 3 acres of land.
Maybe you can show me. We can make a small tour.
A guided tour.
Vi starter i det murede udhus lige bag gårdspladsen.
What do we have in this room?
In here I grow what we call hydroponics.
Her står nu et stort metalstativ med hylder og majsspirer på store bakker. Og det er noget nyt, Judith afprøver. Det tager en uge at drive majsspirerne frem, og så kan de bruges som et vældig godt kosttilskud til køerne.
This is the growing of plants by using only water, no soil. So I grow this for my cows. They are very nutritious. I grow it, it grows, it matures in 7 days. Then I feed the cows, highly nutritious. So like these ones tomorrow, they'll be ready and they will eat. So tomorrow I'll plant another, so I keep planting on a daily basis so that I don't cut the supply.
So 1 week and then you have?
1 week, it is ready.
Okay, so you can harvest.
Yes. This is corn, yellow corn. But usually they used to, here we don't have a lot of barley. It's good when you use barley. But yellow corn is also good. Since I don't have the barley around, I use the corn.
And where did you get this good idea from?
I got it from Kenya.
And the metal plates here were?
There is a Kenyan man who is doing them in here in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I sourced it from. So this one is really highly nutritious, and on each tray we put like 2 kilos. 2 kilos, that is 3,000. And I feed a tray to 2 cows per day. And it's highly nutritious. So I've just started. This is towards my second trial, but it's coming out well. If you came here when the cows had eaten for a month, you'd really see beautiful cows. Yes. And the beauty is that they increase on milk production.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So since I have now a few cows, and yet I must be in business, I had to do this so that I keep my production. Yes.
Det næste udhus har tidligere været hønsehus, men det er nu indrettet med store træreoler. På hylderne ligger ruller af rester fra bomuldsplanter, og på dem dyrker Judith østershatte. Prisen er rimelig. Hun sælger til 7.000 per kilo, altså ca. 10 kroner. Men en af hendes kunder sælger dem videre for 10.000. Svampene kræver stor fugtighed, og i det varme klima må der spredes med vand flere gange.
Now grow mushrooms in here. Uh-huh. The beauty with mushroom, it's also a daily income. So like now we harvested in the morning, but every morning we do harvest.
And what kind of mushrooms do you have?
This is oyster kind of mushroom.
I can see them over there?
Yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And what is this made of, where they are growing?
They are cotton wastes. And then put the spores. Mm-hmm. 1 month, you start harvesting.
And the spores, you buy them?
Yes, I do buy them from Makerere University. Like if I go to a customer in the evening, I have something to sell.
And I guess they are expensive.
They are.
Because it's a luxury, isn't it?
It is, it is.
Yeah.
But people have learned to eat it because it is also like medicine or something kind of it.
How do people eat these kind of mushrooms here in Uganda?
Some fried, some just eat boiled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these people with easy fast foods who make pizzas, they also buy.
And they are also sold individually to individual customers?
Yes,
yeah.
We sell individually.
What is the price per? You sell 100 gram or what?
We sell 1 kilogram at 7,000 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a lady who comes and buys at 7,000 and takes to the town and sells at 10,000. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this you can use only one? Time or can you use
one time?
One time.
One time. When it is fully like those ones,
yeah.
I take it to the garden as a mulch.
Do we record how many kilos you harvest here from mushrooms?
Yes, I do. On average, it is 5 kilos, because that is when you get 10, 20, another day you get 3, 4. So, average is like 5. Yeah.
And the season is how?
This dry season affects us so much because of the heat. This is a crop which needs a place that is very humid. So what we do, we do spray 3 times a day. So this place needs really to be humid.
Turen fortsætter udendørs. Vi går hen til et område, der er markeret af træstolper med overlæggere. Alle stolper, inklusive overlæggere, er dækket fuldstændig af passionsfrugtplanter, som klatrer op og ned og på tværs. Under hele overtaget hænger frugterne på rækker og glider. Her er masser af dem. Nede på jorden i de filtrerede lys vokser chiliplanter. Judith fortæller, at der konstant er noget, som kan høstes og sælges på markedet.
The ceiling is covered with passion fruit, actually.
So in order to fully utilize the space, I'd grow paper down,
yeah,
and the passion fruits up.
So
that when this one is out, I have where. So that every time I have something to take to the market. Yes. There is a new garden that side is starting,
mm-hmm.
But I have another hybrid the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see that?
Yeah.
Judith fremviser den anden sort passionsfrugt, som har meget større frugter. Den gror i en mark sammen med bananpalmer, altså madbananer, også kaldet matoke. Bananerne tager over, når passionsfrugterne er høstet, forklarer Judith. Den forædlede passionsfrugt har godt nok større frugter end den traditionelle sort, men de har ikke så meget smag og ikke så søde. Judith venter med at høste, til frugterne er fuldstændig modne og falder af selv. De kan sagtens holde sig. Og hvad er så prisen? Jo, for 1000 Uganda-shilling kan man få 8 styk, og det gælder både de forædlede og de små, men mere smagfulde traditionelle.
And for 1000, how many will I get?
You'll get 8.
From the hybrid?
Yes.
And for the other ones?
Still eight. Yes. The other ones are small, but they taste is they are so sweet. sweeter than this. So. This is my banana. It's not well kept, but at least I get out something to eat.
Judith har en anden mark med bananpalmer, men her vokser bananerne sammen med ingefærplanter. Fordelen er, at jorden bliver udnyttet, og hele tiden er den dækket med blade, som beskytter mod solen.
So this one is growing old. I had to plant this one. Eh? But in here, I planted ginger as well. You know ginger?
Ginger?
Yes, ginger.
Dyrker I både søde bananer og madbananer? Nej, det er mest bananer til mad, men både til eget forbrug og til salg.
No, we grow mainly for food.
For food.
For yeah. Food.
Yeah. How much space is used for banana?
It's like half an acre.
And that is for your own food or is for sale also?
Food and sale, because I can't complete all this. Yes. So like in here, now I'm going to uproot the ginger and sell, and then start mulching properly.
Rundturen slutter ved et stort område for kaffestiklinger, hvor der er masser af små poser.
Coffee nursery. Yesterday I didn't water, that's why they are dry. But I'm going to water now.
Judith har 30.000 stiklinger, og hun sælger dem for 300 shilling per styk. Her er det et statsligt udviklingsprogram, som er køberen, forklarer hun.
This I sell to government. We sell to government, and the government gives to farmers for wealth creation program.
Efter en rundtur fortæller Judith om sine fremtidsplaner. Hun er egentlig uddannet læger, og hendes store vision er at omdanne sit alsidige bylandbrug til etablering af undervisningscenter.
I'm aiming at turning this place into a training center.
You want to be a schoolmaster?
Well, even originally I'm a teacher by profession. So I think I'll do well. Just want to set things in place. Then we start.
And what it will be a horticultural center or what will it be?
It will be all around. It will depend on the student. If interested in vegetables, can do that. If interested in dairy, take that mushroom. It will be open to all. I want to have a variety.
Du har lyttet til den anden udsendelse i en mindre række om andelsvirksomhed i Uganda. Udsendelsen var tilrettelagt af Christina Grossmann Due, og den har modtaget støtte fra Danidas oplysningsbevilling.